Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, we'll dust off the books on an episode about history with progressive folk singer-songwriter Stephen John Taylor.
I don't know. It kind of seems like we ought to have some more, you know, academic history-type stuff this week. A folk singer, fine, but what about, like, some chamber music performed using authentic period instruments or something?
Do you have any?
I've got an old Sears catalog ukulele. We could do an authentic 1980s luau or something.
That's pretty good. Or we could do a documentary piece on the first email ever sent.
Well, that's very public radio. I like it. You know, staticky phone interviews, bleep, bloopy sounds.
Yeah, it's like, I got some insight from Dr. Nicholas Grabitsky at MIT.
I wrote a humorous missive to Dr. Smith at Stanford and Press Send. Oh.
Exactly. Now try the intro again.
All right. Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, an insightful collection of truly edifying information programming. Or some dumb sketches and a folk singer named Steve. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And on the other microphone, the librarian presiding over my massive catalog of errors, Julie Van Dusen. History. From the Greek historia, knowledge acquired by investigation. Everything that ever happened, written down. Thousands of years of it so far. About the moment that we stopped grunting and started talking. Yeah, well, I still grunt, but, you know, only when I do anything. I digress. I don't know what digress means. Anyway, from the time the rest of humankind stopped grunting and started talking, you know, writing things down, or I guess drawing little pictures at first, history began, the story of mankind. Yeah, maybe man not so kind, as it were. You know, there's a lot of gruesome murder in that story. A good chunk of it is who beat who in what war. You know, shifting borders, empires rising and falling, all that. That's what we're doing this week. The whole of human history. If you don't think a middling public radio hack like me can pull it off in 1 hour, I'll do you one better. I can do it in 3 words. Walking, then talking, then texting. That's it. That's the whole story. Interestingly enough, it's gone full circle, the record of it, right? We started with pictograms and shapes, and we're back there now. Our future historians are going to be deciphering our language, you know, figuring out history through our text. The Great War was won. It's the number one, right? The Great War was won. Hashtag blessed. And the president approached the podium and declared, smiley face, gif of Carlton dancing. And the people stood and hand clap emoji, eggplant, you up, question mark?
It's the story of all mankind, from monolith up to modern times. Kingdoms come rising and empires die. Everything ever a story we write, all right.
The first historians were Greek. They got downright academic about it. Though I'm not sure where they stitched those little elbow patches on their togas. Herodotus has been called the father of history. But he was documenting it sort of as a story steered by divine intervention. Yeah, maybe a little mythological. Whereas his contemporary, Thucydides, well, he looked at it as human action, you know, cause and effect. The Greeks also saw history as cyclical, with events reoccurring over and over and over again. I, for one, hope that's true, and I'm waiting for ancient Greece to return because these pants are chafing me. The Chinese weren't too far behind the Greeks, with their written history beginning in the Han Dynasty. Sima Qian, I think his name was. He presented it as a series of biographies, covered more than 2,000 years, all the way back from the Yellow Emperor right up to the Wu of Han, which I think included Riza. But don't quote me on that. I'm a piano player, not a historian.
It's the story of all mankind, from monolith up to modern times. Kingdoms come rising and empires die. Everything ever a story we write, all right.
There's a method to the madness. Historical method, actually. Guidelines, techniques for keeping a record, right? Like source criticism. This is the approach taken to evaluate an informal source, broken down into 6 inquiries. Basically, they're when, where, who, what, couple more, but just trying to sort out the reliability of the source. Now, when there's contradicting sources, well, then there's 7 steps to figure it out. The first of which is, if the sources agree about an event, you can bank on it being for real. Which is specious because, well, I can easily find you 5 guys who got probed by the same UFO. Which is where rule number 7 comes in, which is, when 2 sources disagree, the historian should take the source which accords best with common sense. Which, of course, will force future historians to conclude there's no way Donald Trump was actually president.
It's the story of all mankind, from monolith up to modern times. Kingdoms come rising and empires die. Everything ever a story we write, all right.
History has its different disciplines, too. Military history, ethnic history, demographics, social history. Social history studies everyday people, how they got by, you know, what they did for fun. With modern subfields like history of the family, urban history, women's history, even smaller subfields like history of childhood. That's a real one. The history of childhood. I'm kind of skeptical that it needs a whole field. I mean, it only takes 12 or 14 years, tops. Military history is probably the most entertaining. It has the most explosions, right? Basically, it's the study of the causes of war, doctrines, technology, strategy. And there's an offshoot called just war theory. It looks at the ethics of war. Military leaders, politicians, theologians, they look to ensure that a war is moral and justified with just war theory. The irony is, no matter how they parse it, it's just war.
Oh, how we choose to forget and doomed to regret it yet. If we never can learn from the pages we've turned, we'll be damned to repeat them again.
History has its own history. The greats in the field. I mentioned at the beginning Herodotus, right? Hume, Gibbon, Voltaire, some current guy named Noam Chomsky. Well, I figure some kind of bitey garden statue. These titans in the history, they keep it straight so knuckleheads like me can read it on Wikipedia at 4 a.m. and regurgitate it for you now. When you catch up to today, there's folks who get ahead of themselves. They're called futurists. The futurists like to try and divine what future history might look like. They've been pushing flying cars since like the 50s, and still nothing. Kurzweil, he says that the singularity is coming. That's when all of his theories, they coalesce into one big dumb idea. Yes, the only history we can be sure of is in the past. And even then, it's written by the victors. So you never know. We're going to dust off the books this week and see if we can't dig up a little history. Stick around. It's being recorded for posterity.
It's a story of all mankind, from monolith up to modern times. Kingdoms come rising and empires die. Everything ever a story we write. All right.
And as always, if you're offended by something you hear on the program this week, you can tweet me directly at @JPHouston. But be warned, you just might get a response on the air. We'll be joined in the studio this week by a great singer-songwriter out of California, Stephen John Taylor. As a multi-instrumentalist, he's worked with great groups like Rye, Skylar Grey, Dwayne Betts, Nikki Bloom, Guns N' Roses, Death Cab for Cutie, and a host of other notables. His sound is a dreamy, progressive folk influenced by CSNY, Nick Drake, and Joni Mitchell. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen John Taylor. Stephen.
This song's called Using You, and it's about a lot of things, but one of them is hookup culture, the loss of intimacy that's happening in the current world. And it could be looked at from the perspective of both a user and a usee, and kind of the sadness and emptiness that can result from both sides of that.
Walking after school, did you get around to reading all the rules?
know you think you know the way it's supposed to be. That love will set you free. But you've been hurt before, that's why I got to make you see. I'd love you just the same as a loyal friend, a player of the game. Don't get to thinking that the best is yet to come, 'cause I'm always on the run. And soon you're gonna know of all the things that I have done. I'm only using you to find out who I am. I'm only using you to be part of a plan. And you're old enough to choose it, young enough to lose it, wise enough to know what's right and wrong. I'm only using you to find the fire. Never get to say what you mean, your intentions turn to gray. I still believe that things like chivalry are true, that love will come to you. Someone's gonna love the little things you like to do. I'm only you find out where I am. I'm only using you to be part of a plan. And you're old enough to choose it, young enough to lose it, wise enough to know what's going on. I'm only using you to find the fire. Man, will he get the chance to live and love again? And will he measure up to what he knew before? He closed the open door rather than to risk a wound to a heart that's hurt before. I'm only using you to find out who I am. I'm only using you to be part of a plan. And you're old enough to choose it, young enough to lose it, wise enough to know what's going on. I'm only using you to find the fire.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. And coming up next on your public radio, curator of the National Outsider Music Museum explains the cultural importance of his vast collection of unknown talent and his attempts to keep it hidden from the world. Then, internet video recipe guru Munchly takes 30 seconds to show us 200 ways to make toast. But first, host Brooke Lindsay Joyce welcomes author Lindsay Joyce Brooks to re-examine history through a modern lens. On Yesterday Today, today on your public radio, now.
I'm Brooke Lindsay Joyce, and this is Yesterday Today. Today, we air an interview I recorded yesterday about re-examining Yesterday Today. Not a re-examination of this program Yesterday Today, but rather an examination of yesterday in the grand sense, today, with a modern perspective, from yesterday. An interview by yours truly, Brooke Lindsay Joyce, with historian Lindsay Joyce Brooks, right now on Yesterday Today. Lindsay Joyce Brooks, welcome to the program. It's always exciting to hear from a unique voice.
Thank you. I'm atonally excited to be here.
As am I.
Me also.
Wait, which one am I again?
It doesn't matter.
So, Lindsay, with the title of your book, you make the very modern decision to use an inclusive word to describe the study of past events.
Yes, I was devastated to learn that my previous work, The History of Herstory, an examination of the reclaiming of the word history, was itself exclusionary.
That's so unfortunate.
Yes, but I set the record straight in my new book, The It Story of Herstory, examining the exclusionary use of the word herstory.
Amazing.
Yes, I am.
I know.
I know you do.
I know you know that I know you do.
I know you know.
I know you know.
No, stop it.
You stop.
You stop first.
No, you stop.
Okay.
We'll hear part two of our conversation tomorrow on History Today. Tomorrow. I'm Lindsay Joyce Brooks, I think. On Yesterday, Today.
Tune in tomorrow for the conclusion of that fascinating interview on Yesterday, Today. Today, if you enjoy the programming on this station, become a member. For the small donation of only $600, you receive a station mug. The last one, in fact, that I'm currently sipping a delicious chai tea latte from right now. Perhaps with your generous donation, we'll be able to afford more fresh mugs and the circle of life may continue. Next on your public radio, we join American Parlor Songbook, already in progress, a show that, frankly, I myself don't understand. I'm Peter Thompson on your public radio. Well, it's about time we heard another song from Stephen John Taylor. Stephen?
This one's called To Be Graced. I wrote this in Austin by the river. The sun was setting, and it just looked like gold. And on the river, the reflections were like liquid gold. And this song kind of came out, and it's about appreciating, it's about nostalgia, but it's about appreciating the moments that we have together. And it's a little bittersweet, but it's meant to be beautiful. And, even with past the melancholy.
River long, sky so blue, but still a song came to few, like the words that roll away. Was a joy to be graced by you. We laughed through years of brightest youth, shed our tears at stolen truth. It seems that the time just flew. 'Twas a joy to be graced by you. We danced until the dawn. gay flag poppers along the way. Times like these, so few and far between. Times like these, always gone so soon, so soon. Nighttime falls, the morning.
Find music, tour dates, and information about Stephen on his website, stephentaylor.com. Let's have another song, Steve.
This one's called The Laws of Attraction. It's about what you bring into your life, positive and negative. And I believe we create our reality. This is more, at this point in the song's development, it's more of a blues song. But I believe in the laws of attraction, about bringing positives into your life. So.
It's a hand-me-down world, the papa said it right. You're gaining someone else's side. Don't inherit the dreams of a short-sighted man. Forest with the wind and night. Your heaven's nothing more than castles in the cloud. And your heaven have the room to breathe. If your treasure's nothing more than metal in the ground, you give the love that you receive. The rich man came to the start of the journey, wanted more than he could ever afford. The poor man came, said enough is enough, and he spent his time seeking the Lord. It all comes down to the laws of attraction when you think about the rules of the game. Do you really know if the hand that you draw is it the joker, baby, or is it the ace? In the left few tides, I said it goes to find the truth in the unknown meaning of the sea. In the process, running from the burden of my love, the same responsibility. But the trade winds blowing in the middle of the night, but the doldrums dull up in the day. And my ship fell apart like a deck of weary cards, and the fortune said the way they made. I held my breath as I tried to dive deep within the bottom of the ocean floor. My human heart kept pulling me back, it was washing me up on the shore. It all comes down to the laws of attraction when you think about the rules of the game. Do you really know the hand that you draw? Is it the joke of ever is it the ace? She was more than mad, she was heavy in a way, intoxicated on the sun. She was all in beaming like a beacon in the wind. The icebergs floated as a dawn. But I spit and won and I can deal with all I had. The diamond days of my youth. All to justify all the loving in the world, the wind and world of entry. And I left one night in the cool hot wind, and I realized I was all alone. You're never gonna see the reward that you get when the blues are all that you've ever known.
It all comes down to the laws of attraction when you think about the rules of the game. Do you really know the hand that you draw if the joker paper is at the
The Falcons ruled the gritty streets of our quaint Norman Rockwell neighborhood. We were tough, we were mean, and if you crossed us, well, you'd get away with it, but we'd give you a funny look. We rolled through the hood on our banana seat bikes, revving our hockey cards in our spokes, making squirrels flinch, committing completely legal acts of goofy small fry misconduct. Or at least planned to. Those movies made gangs into passive song singers and barely dangerous boys. You know, the outsiders, the T-Birds of Greece, and all the warriors had to battle were clowns and baseball players. Carefully oiled up hair and tight designer jeans. The lords of Flatbush would just joyride a car and then relax at the malt shop. Those not-so-tough boys drifted through the air, down the old antenna, and into the deeper-than-it-was-wide box in our living room. Yeah, they lured us in with those cool jackets and singing, and, well, they infected our dumb kid minds with ideas. Ha! My toughest sister Melissa sat up and declared it. We are the Falcons. If you cloned and stacked her, you could have built a house. Like every other 1981 girl, she had those Christy McNichol bangs, but Melissa, she wore them more like Peter Criss. You see, she'd built up those tree trunk arms by bashing on paper skin Muppet drums over and over, like Animal himself. And there wasn't an alleyway bully boy in the whole city who wouldn't cower and scurry off at the mere sight of her in a sleeveless ski jacket. Satin ruled the day. Cheap and thin, shiny satin shorts in the summer days, and jackets with spring-loaded cuffs on fall nights. Black with gold trim or red with black trim. The springy sweatband rim sewn right in at the neck and at the wrist. With the right jeans, now, you could strut a few steps forward, throw a look over your shoulder, flash those mirrored cop glasses, give your bangs a flip, and then you would actually hear I Love Rock and Roll spontaneously echo on the wind. She stormed into the kitchen, threw open the junk drawer, tossed the crazy glue that held the construction worker to a beam by his helmet over one shoulder, then a pet rock over the other shoulder, a Sears brand back massager of some kind onto the floor, and then grabbed a big, thick, black permanent marker, the kind the weird kid sniffed in class. Then she lay her red satin jacket out on that Formica countertop there and popped the lid off the marker and then scrawled it out on the back. The Falcons. She flipped it over and wrote on the breast, Rocco. I'm Rocco, Melissa said. Call me Rocco from now on. And when Rocco asked, you complied. Besides, joining a legit street gang and running the bubblegum trade in the East End, it sounded pretty cool. So I followed her outside, and Nikki followed me. Now, I doubt little Nikki knew exactly what was going on. She mostly just blushed and went wherever we did. Down Wheeler Avenue to put the crew together. We'll need the Ferrugia brothers. They're Maltese. They practically invented Falcons. And Bobby, he has those plastic brass knuckles. Now, we're going to need those if we're going to have a turf war and bust some of those Belfair kids' heads. It's a known fact that kids born a block over on Belfair kiss their sisters and hate Chewbacca. I saw it with my own eyes, Weasley Christian said from behind a hat, oh boy. We're in. Spit in your hands and shake on it. Falcons ride! Popping wheelies, leaf pile jumps, and Rocco up at the front, bird-eyed, looking out for lost Belfair jerks. Ollie, ollie, auction free, everybody. Hide-and-seek time is for babies, and we are Falcons. Now that there, right there, is a Belfair kid. Ready? Get him! Oh, no, wait, that's just the weird Lithuanian kid from the three-story apartment. Yeah, well, it's only a matter of time before they make their move, and we can sit around here waiting for the other hush puppy to drop, or we can take the fight to them. Greg, you stay golden pony boy. Tommy, you do it for Johnny. JP, do whatever Macho did. Nikki, blush and smirk. Good. Rocco rallied our spirits like a halftime coach. We may just be poor kids. We weren't. Maybe those snobby Belfair kids get all the grades. Sure. Maybe we're just nobodies with nowhere else to go. Except our quaint brick houses with spaghetti dinners. Yeah, we don't matter to them. They didn't know we existed. Sure, all we got is each other. But we are falcons. And falcons don't back down. Not from a fight. Now who's with me? Crickets. Now who is with me? Oh, right, we're playing a gang here. Puff up our chests and we are going to ride around that block and we're going to wage an all-out head-splitting third reel drama-making down on our knees, shouting up to the crane, no, legitimate, not at all pretend, brutal turf war. Ca-ca! Falcons! The clouds grayed the light. The wind rustled the maple leaves. The score rose underneath violins, French horns swelling, and a pack of phony, tough, two-wheeled Hellraisers barreling down the hill like Red Barons from the Snoopy song, picking up momentum on the turn at the bottom of Wheeler and around the corner and storming enemy territory, breaching the head of Belfair Avenue with tiny, furious, pedaling feet onto a street that, well, looked exactly like ours. Rocco turfed her bike and glided into the center of the road. All right, who's the leader around here? A couple of stray kids just looked up from picking flowers or petting their dog. Which one of you yellow-bellied, no-good inbreds, totally different type of kids from us 50 yards around the corner, leads your gang? I think they must have thought we were the special kids from the dead end, and, well, they just went back to their flowers and their dogs. Ha! That's what I thought. So, no one. Turf war? Arch enemies? We're from Wheeler Avenue? Nothing? No? All right. We celebrated our sweet victory in backyard tents over Charleston Chews and bragged for months about how we won that war. And Rocco stoked the fire-safe hibachi campfire and regaled the younger children with tales of bravery and honor and promised that if they toughened up and stayed golden and had satin jackets and a marker, that they, too, could one day be falcons.
Smartest street, rumbled tough like a hood. Proud and pleased for the ground that you stood. On handlebars, playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes, I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So, if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And we're back here on American Parlor Songbook and our history episode. Now, our old friend, comedian Stephen Benequist, takes us on a journey via an antique captain's log.
Log of Captain Quentin St. Beeves, May the 25th, year of our Lord, 1863. Today the sun rose on my 10th day as the sole man aboard the HMS She-Ra. I say 'tis so, but day looks much the same as night through this hell-born tempest. We cower in the shadows of waves the stature of a Ringling Brothers' big top tent one moment, only to be tossed to the zenith of a watery mountain the next, looking out o'er the vastness of the Antarctic Ocean, or would do were it not secreted neath a scrim of fog and driving sleet which cuts a man's skin like a thousand tiny, invisible, and dampened wolves. Though I've all the courage of a man of true faith in the Almighty and a salty dog near 30 years upon these seven seas, I cast my eye about this rugged hulk for a single cause for hope and find none. I take up the task of recounting this tragic, villainous, and bungled adventure as much to own my part of the blame as to share it, and in hopes that I may clutch the last strands of my waning sanity a little longer ere they flutter off into the ether. What's that? The winds seem to howl the name of Arianor. Oh, my precious bauble. Woe, that I shall never stroke your rosy cheek again. Woe, never to cup your tender sausage-like fingers in mine. Woe, never to woo you reading sonnets by the moonlight refracted from your most high, white, and noble brow. Woe, never to gaze into your bottomless eye. Woe, damn that wretch Bigby! Damn him directly unto Hades for taking you from me. But I digress. The She-Ra had completed her mission, a 2-year journey round the Indian Ocean, anchoring buoys with the Union Jack aflutter in the pattern of Her Majesty's likeness, stretched 2,000 miles from the nose by Zanzibar to the ear by Perth, her bosom resting upon the Antarctic shelf. Job done, we had rounded Africa to the Canaries, a mere 2 days from London and Eleanor. Whoa! When the wind died down past a whisper, and we sat like a big wooden duck in a pond. Chief Petty Officer Digby, an upstanding seaman, proposed we keep ourselves amused with a game of blindman's bluff, and I approved it. And here our troubles began. Petty Officer Bigby was set about rounding up the blindfolds. Bigby was a misanthrope who resented Digby's slightly higher rank and was inclined to undermine Digby's authority at every turn. Digby came back up from the hold with the blindfolds. They smelled odd, but the men were so eager for a bit of fun, we tied them on and played at the amusement for hours. In fact, as we could not see, it is impossible to say exactly how long we played for. During that time, we were caught completely unawares, as the weather had turned upon us. A foul blast out of Morocco met a cold front from the Hebrides. We all scrambled to remove the burlap scraps, but found them tarred to our very faces. Bigby! 3/4 of the crew were tossed overboard immediately. Poor souls, the hurricane churned and pushed us back across the equator 1,000 miles or more. Or the next days we lost more men to illness and injury, and 11 days ago it was down to 3. Digby, Bigby, and Captain St. Beeves. We huddled in my cabin in the aftercastle round the tallow, the blindfold still glued to our heads, eye-holes now torn in them to see. Digby cursed Bigby, who swore it was an accident. While carrying the blindfolds past the tar barrel, kept from mending leaks in the hull, he sneezed, knocking them into the noxious paste. To quell the storm between these two men, I suggested we talk of the people and places we loved most dearly. I began, telling them at length of Eleanor's infinite charms. Digby followed, getting teary-eyed over his best bloodhound, Barbara, who would bite people but didn't mean no harm. When Bigby's turn came, he was silent for a moment, then said, "Funny thing, Cap'n, about your girl being named Eleanor." "Why's that?" I demanded. "So happens I'm married to a bird named Eleanor. Matches your description exactly. Sausage fingers, big forehead, one bottomless eye." I seethed. "Got a portrait right here in this locket. Fancy a peep?" I snatched the locket and eyed it feverishly. "Eleanor! Whoa!" "Whoa is right. That's my wife, that is. Still, you wouldn't be the first to ever go." "Swine!" I cried. "That is my one true love!" Bigby chuckled callowly, and I lunged on him, propelling us both out the cabin door into the hurricane. He was younger and stouter than I, but I was fueled by a lover's passion. Digby screamed for us to come back to the aftercastle, or at least the forecastle, but we were deaf to his cries. Head down against the wind, Digby struggled to get between us, but Bigby had me pinned to the mast, and just as Digby reached us, a monstrous wave swept them both overboard. My coat had caught on the rigging, saving me from their fate. But what of my fate? Here I sit still, 10 days later, going mad with fear, hunger, and loneliness, eaten alive by the knowledge that Eleanor is not my Eleanor, but Eleanor Bigby. Ah, we lonely people. Where do we all come from? In my case, Cambridge. Whoa!
Comedian Stephen Benequist with an amusing historical artifact. I think we have time for one more song from Stephen John Taylor.
All right. The song is called Fever. That's at least the working title. And it's about longing, being on a great journey and not being satisfied. And there's, you know, feeling like a little bit of an outsider at the same time. But yeah, it's about the hunger, the quest.
back upon the ruins of May. I was big in Info Delta. Didn't realize all this time I'm planting shade. I was captured, like glowing screens, I was captured. Like a magnet, gripped with the chains of gold. It's a highway, the stolen running out of road. It's a question, still remains unspoken. Will the meaning flood into the valley below? I needed home. I was freezing, but still feeling captured. On the wires, used to being called alone. But the fever, it still remained broken. And the highway was slowly running out of road. It's a fever, still remains broken. It's a highway, started running out of road. It's a question, still remains unspoken. Will the meaning flood into the valley below? As a witness, keep up on the moonlight. Melting away. I'll be counting my many meager blessings, waiting for the tide to take me away.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX.
Wendell.
You can find information about the program on our website, American Parlor Songbook.
Wendell.
Yes. Mother, can you make it quick? I was almost asleep.
Making history takes time, Wendell, and I will take mine.
Can't you take it in the morning?
Not if I'm going to get to Mongolia by tomorrow night.
What's in Mongolia?
My public.
What are they doing in Mongolia?
Well, they were born there.
And they're your public?
You know very well that I'm huge in Central Asia.
You're exactly the same size. 98 pounds of old lady wherever you go.
It's 97 pounds. One lighter than that Audrey Hepburn, fat cow. And I don't say old, I prefer seasoned.
With vinegar.
And a heavy pinch of sass, baby.
All right, all right. So what does your public have in store for you in Central Asia this time?
A retrospective of my great films, of course.
Oh, that's a short retrospective.
But I made 150 150 pictures.
And none of them great.
Return of the Black Pink Panther?
Exploitation knockoffs hardly qualify.
Gone with the Wind 2, Back with a Breeze?
That was shelved.
Draculette?
Another bomb.
They ran screaming from the theater.
Because you released live bats.
3D, baby.
Rabies, baby.
There were only 2 cases.
Of rabies.
No, of bats. There were 7 rabies.
And 1 class action suit.
I got off scot-free.
The judge threw the book at you.
It was a fine. Big deal.
No, he literally threw a book at you on animal regulations.
Well, thankfully, I have the reflexes of a bat.
The expression is cat.
Obviously, you've never seen 1 bat give 7 people rabies in 2 minutes.
Touché.
All right. Enough of this banter. We have to get packed for the red eye to London if we're going to make our connection.
They'd better be paying you well for this.
Posterity is my reward.
So I'm paying for it.
What, just cash a royalty check for that stupid novelty song of yours.
Well, I'll have you know that the Disco Chicken is still in heavy rotation in Lithuania.
Oh, I know. We've got the potato certified record and a frame to prove it.
Oh, it's gone double potato now.
That sounds delicious. But I've got a whole retrospective to contend with. So let's make with the potato money and go.
Why are you so obsessed with posterity anyway?
It's the only way I'm going to be the center of attention after I'm dead.
I don't know. We could have you stuffed and displayed.
Well, you know very well my will demands dipped in gold.
Oh, right. And jewel encrusted.
And mounted above the entrance to the Academy of Motion Pictures.
Oh, Mother, they'll never go for that.
Really, with the dirt I have on those members, they will do whatever I say.
Oh, the members you have dirt on are all long forgotten by now.
And I will suffer the same fate if I don't get to Mongolia. So let's get moving.
Mother, you don't need the judges at the Ulaanbaatar Film Festival to tell you that your life had meaning.
Well, the late-night cable showings around here aren't cutting it. Do you know, I walked around the mall for 8 hours in my costume from the Two-Headed Floozy. 8 hours for 1 old loser to recognize me.
No, Mother, the meaning is within you.
You mean the poster for Draculette that I swallowed on the Tonight Show?
No, dear, the real meaning.
Is this the sappy part where you tell me that my memories are forever and love is the real meaning of life?
No, dear, not this time.
Are you sure? Because that usually works.
I have something better for you tonight.
All right. I'm listening.
All right. Where is yesterday?
All right, he's having another stroke. I'll call the ambulance.
I'm perfectly lucid. Just answer the question. Where is yesterday?
It's in the past.
And where exactly is that?
Well, it's nowhere, I suppose.
Yes, and what about tomorrow?
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
And when will it?
Well, in the future?
Does that gradually arrive or all at once?
Well, I don't know.
Right. And once it's here, it isn't tomorrow anymore, so it never was.
So, when is it?
Where everything is.
When?
Right, exactly, now.
So then what is the point of anything?
Martha, you of all people should have the answer for that.
I do?
Of course, Martha. If there's no yesterday and there's no tomorrow and there's only now, well, what you should do is make right now interesting.
Well, I am pretty good at that.
Oh, you're the best at that. In the 70 years that I've known you, not one single moment has passed that wasn't positively interesting.
It's a work of beautiful chaos.
From chandelier swinging at the White House.
To that time I stole Hepburn's Oscar and I went on that interstate police chase with that kid from Webster.
Or when you flooded the CBS executive lounge to pitch an Esther Williams swimming routine.
Or when I ate the last pinted tortoise egg and I extinct the whole species. That was hilarious.
or my favorite, when you looked at me and you said, I do.
Oh, you sure were lucky that day.
Yes, I sure was.
And I have been lucky every day since.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, you always manage to make me feel better.
And you always manage to keep me entertained.
We are a historic match.
Destined for greatness right here and now in this bed for a good night's sleep.
Oh, all right. I'll just have Sasheen Littlefeather accept my Lifetime Achievement Award.
Perfect. Now lie down here and get some rest.
Not until you give me my Nighttime Achievement Award.
What's that?
It's my lullaby, of course.
All right, your lullaby.
Mm-hmm. Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.